Taylor Michaelis. And it says, I realized how badly many churches are growing older in average of age that attend. We need to be working on youth. And as a youth, I want to be making an impact on the people my age and be an example to others in everything I do. I need to be fearless with God's help to live boldly and godly. People do notice what you have, or when you have the love and joy of Christ. The other one's from a young lady named Shariah Brockle. Her family, they attend Sunshine. She's here today, but their family also goes back to Sioux Falls on the weekends. But she's been coming to our youth group now for about a year and a half, and so I wanted to read what she said. She said, there are so many amazing things about this missions trip, but the thing that definitely impacted me the most was going to Colorado Children's Hospital. It was an emotional experience for me, as well as for some of the others, but at the same time, it was one of the most awesomest experiences. Under the circumstances that the kids were in, I would have expected them to be scared or sad. That's what I was preparing for, but they were actually the complete opposite. They were full of joy. It encouraged me a ton to see that even though we were only there for a couple hours, it made them so happy to be able to do something just as simple as a craft with us. I could definitely feel God in all of it, and he taught me that if these little kids in their circumstances could be overflowing with joy, then I should be able to find joy in the hard times in my life. I had always wanted to be a nurse, and at that moment, after leaving the children's hospital, I felt God tugging on my heart to be a nurse, to work with the kids like these. I can honestly say, if I had the chance to go again, I would in a heartbeat. God was doing amazing things, and it was so cool to see. We're going to read a couple more in just a little bit, but it was an opportunity that some people think, missions trips are only for out of the country, or you have to go to areas that are really, really in desperate need. Where we got to go was a church, a very small church in a town of about 5,000. Struggling, there's no youth. The average age there is probably, I'd say, at least 65. And they've got this young new pastor there that is wanting to reach out to the community, and he just didn't have the tools to do it. So that's when he was called and asked, saying, hey, would you mind bringing a group down? And it was said, it was an awesome, awesome time. But as I was kind of preparing for this, Pastor Jason is gone at a conference, and so we knew we were going to share this there, so I volunteered to also preach this week. I was thinking of what should I talk about, and I had a word that kept coming into my mind from this missions trip, and you'll see it in your as the title. It's called contagious, and being contagious. And so as we jump into kind of God's word today, I want to read what Noah Johnson had to write. He sent this to me in a text message. And it just really, really fit with what I was preaching on. So I want to read his statement here. It says, the biggest thing I learned on the missions trip was the power that a little positivity can have on a situation. Our youth group was fortunate enough to visit the Denver Children's Hospital. This experience changed our outlook on life. The children at this hospital are at, for a lack of better words, hell on earth. Yet I never once saw a little kid crying or a child looking upset. They were hopeful. When placed in a situation like that, how else could they act? They could act the way we do on a daily basis. They choose to be positive and hold on to that little slice of hope. If we did this in our daily lives, the world would never be the same. I also saw the exact opposite of the spectrum. While going door to door handing out VBS flyers and sharing Christ's good news, we encountered a man who had, well, he was dealt a rough hand. This man didn't choose God to guide him. And we could tell. He was angered by the mentioning of our Lord's name. He did the opposite of the cheerful children and chose to convey his beliefs in his actions. This taught me that sharing our light with others not only changes their lives, but ours as well. And I was like, man, that is, I couldn't have said that better. But as we get ready to look into this, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to share about what we were able to do on this mission trip for you. Lord, I thank you for our youth. I thank you for their willingness to serve you in this way. And Lord, I just pray that as we dive into your word today and just kind of talk more about what you have done, Lord, I just pray that you'd be with me, you'd give me the words to say, that this would be you speaking, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we go through this, as we go through our promotion Sunday, that you'd be honored and glorified in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. So my question to you guys today is, what kind of contagious Christian are you? Because I think when we hear the word contagious, we all think, especially now that school started, we think of, oh no, somebody's sick. Is it contagious? Everyone's going to get it. And I think we have that. But contagious can be so much more. Contagious can be a bad attitude can be contagious. Hate can be contagious. Working at Shopko or anywhere, if you came in and your boss or someone had a bad attitude, that ended up affecting everybody else. Having three little children at my home and anything I do and say, knowing that will be said or at least reenacted, that's contagious. But then there's the opposite of that. What good things can be contagious? And laughter. I think we can all think of somebody that has that laugh, but as soon as they start laughing, you cannot stop. You cannot just laugh with them, if not smile. Joy can be contagious. Love can be contagious. We can all probably think of somebody as well that when you get around them, you feel so much better. You have such a great attitude. You see that joy they have, and it sticks to you. Like I said, there's people in this church I can think of. One that I can think of right off the top of my head is Benita Engel. Anytime I'm around her, I smile and I laugh, and she has such a joyful attitude, and she is now being able to portray that in the school. So what are we like in our lives? What are we like wherever we go? Are we that contagious Christian that we know and wants that's like, oh, stay away from them. I don't want to catch that. Or is it I want to be around these people more? While we were on our missions trip, our men's devotion we did, I was talking one day, and Jace Burma shared a quote that a Marine had when he was able to go to Puerto Rico earlier this summer. And this Marine said this: we need to be the best Christian we can be because we might be the only Christian they meet. And that leaves a lasting impression on them, on believers as a whole, but most importantly, on our Lord and Savior. Someone might come to you or know you and know you are a Christian, and they're going to watch how you act, what you do, and if you are having that bad attitude, you are not someone that people want to be around, that might impact what they think about Jesus. We need to be that laughter, that joyful Christian that is out there all the time. So we're going to look at how do we become a good, contagious Christian. So we're going to look at three keys to do this. And the first key is prayer. If you have your Bibles, if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to look at how prayer is so important into being a good, contagious Christian. Matthew chapter 9, and we'll start in verse 35. And it says this: and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and the healing and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We need to be praying. My key saying for this first point about prayer is this: we need to talk to God about people before we talk to people about God. If you're taking notes, let me just restate this. We need to talk to God about people before we talk to people about God. When you take the time to pray for someone to maybe be saved or to, you know, to be with them, whatever it is, you are sending the Holy Spirit ahead of you. You are sending God ahead of you and to not only work on your heart, but their hearts. I'm sure that if we would take a poll in here, we would ask, many of you came to know Christ with someone supporting and praying for you. Whether it be your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather, your father, a cousin, a friend. But I'm sure somebody was praying for you that you would come to know Christ as your personal Savior. And I'm even almost more certain that if I'd go around and ask every parent or grandparent or people in here, do you have someone or people that you are praying for on a daily basis? They would say yes, and they could give you names. Because we know prayer is important. And for my life, I know that's true too, because every night before we lay our kids down, we pray with them. And every night I pray, and Marissa pray, we pray that they would come to know Jesus as their personal Savior at a young age. That they would know and they'd want to walk with him daily, because that's important. Even at the age of 1, 2, and 3 for my kids. But not only that, I pray for things that are years down the road. I will pray for my kids' spouses one day already. And pray that they that God would be bringing them up as well. And that they would also have a walk with the Lord. Because that's important. But it's not just for, we don't need to be praying just for our children, our grandchildren, our friends. We should be praying for everyone. We should be praying that God would let us meet someone new and have the opportunity to share our faith any and every day. Before we left on our missions trip, about 2 months before, we would pray every Sunday at youth group. We would pray for our missions trip. We would pray for the kids that we were going to have at VBS. We were praying for the children at the hospital. But we were also praying for opportunities to share at times where we never really thought we'd be able to. Stopping at a gas station or at an Arby's or a Walmart. And we were able to see that actually, that prayer come true in a way. And it was awesome to see how God made that work, because how we were going to head down, we were driving and our GPS took us a different way than what we were expecting. But it was in God's control, because as we were driving, Charlie realized that I have an aunt that lives not too far from here. So Charlie was able to call his aunt and say, hey, we are going to be stopping in Alliance, Nebraska, middle of nowhere, Nebraska. And she said, well, we're about an hour away. We'd love to come see you. So they drove an hour and met us, and we were able to meet them at an Arby's. And Charlie was able to see his aunt that he hasn't seen in a few years. He was able to talk with them, reconnect. But then we were able, and you saw just a little bit in the video, Charlie was able to bring out his guitar, and we circled up around the bus, and we sang praises to God with her. And Charlie said later to me, he goes, you guys will never understand how much that meant to her and what impact that had on them. But like I said, we had our plans. We had the way of travel, but we prayed. We said, God, give us opportunities, and he gave us an opportunity. We need to be praying daily for our loved ones and for those around us that we know who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But we also need to be praying that we might meet someone today, tomorrow, and the opportunity. It might not be a specific name. You might not even know who this person is, but God does. And he, if you will let him use you, God will give you that opportunity. So first, we need to be praying for opportunities. We need to be praying that God would use us to share. Our second key word is care. To be a contagious Christian, we need to care for others. If you look back just a few pages at Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5 and verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under by people's feet. My main point for this one is people will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. People will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. You can have all the Bible knowledge, everything that you can know, all of it in your head, but if you don't care, if you don't love, if you don't want to show love to others, people are not going to take time to listen to what you have to say because they want relationships. I was able last year to go down to Frontier and take some students down there to check out the school, and I was asked while there in a couple of classes to share what I thought was some of the things to have a successful ministry. And I've had other youth pastors that are going into that. They've called me and said, Andrew, what would you tell me that is important? And I tell them relationships are huge. I've been here 3 years now. When I first came, you know, the youth was great. We had a lot of fun. We did things. But there was a lot of walls built up. There was a lot of things. They would come. They would, you know, they'd listen to me. They did all that. But you could never really get to what are you struggling with? What do you need prayer for? It was kind of just the, you know, I'm glad you're here and all. I think it'll be great. But we're going to keep this distance. And it's taken 3 years to continue to knock down walls. But we've been able to see that by showing that I care, by showing that by going out and doing things besides just, oh, you're at church and youth group, I better do things with you. But by trying to meet them on their level, I've been able to see walls get torn down. And it's been great to see and for them to now feel comfortable enough to say, you know what, Andrew, this is what I'm struggling with. Because at that age, you feel like you can't trust anyone. You don't share your problems because people are either going to make fun of you or they're just going to say, oh, just get over it. And for the kids to feel that way, it takes time. And it's the same with anybody else. If you want to have a relationship with somebody, you have to put in the effort. Now that I'm here, I get phone calls at 11:30 at night when a kid is having so much struggle. But I wouldn't have it any other way. I have them coming up to me and saying, hey, can we go out to lunch sometime? I'd really love to talk to you. Absolutely. But it doesn't happen overnight. If you want to be able to help someone and point them to Christ, we have to care about them. If you don't show care, if you don't show them you care, they will not come to you at all. God says, talks about salt in the verse. You are the salt of the earth. What is salt used for? Salt can create a thirst. It is used to maybe season something, make it taste a little better. We always put salt on our fries. Usually at every dinner table, there's salt and pepper. But it's also used to preserve things, to make things last longer. And I have here, salt is beneficial in many ways, and so are disciples of Jesus who influence the world for good. We can be beneficial for so many things if we are trying to do things for good, for Christ. But we do. We have to care. We have to put effort. We need to be real. Be authentic. People are drawn to sincerity. People don't want to hear that you're just so happy all the time and that you never have any bad times. They also want to hear the struggles. The times in your life where you're going, you know what? It's been a rough week. It's been a rough month. It's been a rough year. But even though all of this, it's still been bad, but I still have hope because of this. People can then say, oh, okay, so life's not perfect for you. No, it's not. Many of you guys know, Marissa and I, the last month, we've had 2 family members in the hospital. We've had just, it's been a crazy month for us. And Marissa was sick. And so, that was a month of it was hard. But we had so many people from this body right here care for us, brought us meals, just called us and said, hey, how are you doing? Can I pray for you? And that meant so much to us. That's how we want to be with everybody else. Do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? A Jew is stripped by robbers, beaten, and left at the side of the road. A priest walks by, looks at him, and says, nope, keeps walking. A Levite, another religious person, avoids him. Then a Samaritan, who was part of the group the people were at odds with the Jews, he came to his rescue. The Samaritan bandaged him, put him on his donkey, and took him to an inn, and then paid his bill. You see, the world does not need any more religious people. The world needs more real Christians who go through real pain, real crisis points, but pull through by the power of Christ and are willing to share it. So there's two ways we can show that you care for someone. Number one, you give them your time. It's not always going to be convenient to give them your time. But to show them you care, you're willing to say, you know what? You're important. And so I'm going to take this time to show that. The Samaritan, he was traveling a long ways, and yet he was willing to stop and do it. And the other way is to go the extra mile with them or for them. It would have been easy for him to get him, the Samaritan, just to get him to the inn, do that and say, okay, I did my job. That's all I needed to do. But he goes that extra mile and he goes, okay, this guy got robbed, so he has no money, he has nothing. So what else can I do? Well, I can help. I have this extra money. I can pay for it, this bill. I can take time to do this. And it made me ask the question, do I care for others like I should? I have a magnet that sits in my office, and it was given to me from my dean of students, and it says, be willing to be inconvenienced. It's saying, be willing to take that, be willing to say, you know what, drop it and go, because somebody else needs you. And I've shared this with my youth, and I know that Pastor Jason and Jim are the same way, that if you need us, we will be there. I've, like I said, in the last few months, I've gotten calls from our youth, but youth I've been able to, I was their camp counselor. I've gotten more calls recently from kids at middle of the night saying, Andrew, I know you said you would talk to me, and I just need someone to talk to right now. And I said, absolutely. It's 3 in the morning. It's okay. Are we caring for those around us? Everyone? Are we looking for people to care for? Because you're going to run into people at the grocery store. You're going to run into people anywhere you go that might just want someone to talk to them. Are you saying with the prayer, you know, if someone comes up to you and says, hey, I know you're a Christian, would you pray for me? The easy thing to do is say, yeah, absolutely, I'll pray for you, and maybe do it, or maybe forget. Maybe the inconvenient thing, but the thing that would be better to do is to say, you know what, yeah, let's pray right now. And sit and pray with them. That's showing you care. That's going to stand out to them. So see that we need to be praying. We need to be caring. Third thing is to share. Look at Matthew 5:14, just the next verse down. It says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. People must be able to see the glorious change in our lives. If people see there's something different about you, that is going to stand out. And they're going to say, what is different about them? I want that. But we have to stand out. We have to be that light in a dark world. Verse 14 says, we are the light of the world. Verse 15 says, we are not to hide what we have, but to shine it for everyone and everywhere we go. So what do? We need to share what God has done in our lives through salvation and our comforts. In all of his many and wondrous blessings, we can be sharing those. It can be on, people will post that stuff on their Facebook, but just sharing it with people. They say, you know, hey, praise God, this is what he's done for me. Praise God, this is where he's at. praise God, you know, this is where I was at. And now this is, I was just like you. I had no hope. I was like, man, what's life's purpose? But I had someone come and die on the cross for my sins. And you know what? He also came here to die for you. We need to be willing to share that. We need to be that light. We need to stand out. We need to be that person that people say, what is so different about them? And I cannot tell you how many times on our missions trip, I had people come up to me and say, there is something different about your students. There is something completely different about them at their age. And they are so joyful. They are hard workers. They want to be with people and they want to love on people. And I remember the pastor saying, I wish our church could have lights like that. And it made me stop and think, how many times do we take for granted the people in our church? My family was able to help serve one of the days, and my mom said too, she goes, Andrew, she goes, you are so blessed where you're at. And I said, oh, I know. I am. I've got a wonderful church. I've got a youth group that I can go somewhere with and not have to worry about what's going to happen, what are they doing. The last youth group I was at in my hometown, I could literally go nowhere. I had to have literally one leader per 3 students anywhere I went because I could not trust them. They were not one with God. We were trying to get there. And to come here and see how much our youth is responsible and how they love the Lord so much. And I think, man, how many times do we forget about that? How much do we look at our young people in our church and we forget they're on fire for God? In a time where youth are going away from God. The number that go away from God every year now, when they leave high school, go to college, and never attend church again, is getting higher and higher every year. But we also have other lights in this church. We are so blessed with every single one of you that are in here and the love and the care you have. We are blessed with our boards, our elders, our deacons, our CE board, our women's outreach. We have men and women in this church that want to serve. And yet there are so many churches in our state, in our country, and around the world going, I just want a few people that want that. And yet we've got an entire congregation. But we have to not just take it and keep it here. We need to be willing to go and share it wherever we go. Ask yourself, am I shining my light bright wherever I go? Or am I trying to hide my light to fit in? Am I shining my light bright, and when I go somewhere, do I make it brighter? Or am I hiding my light and just trying to fit in? Because there's times where we feel like we need to kind of dim our lights down because, oh, we don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. We don't want this. But we need to be shining bright. You don't need to be going up to people and saying, hey, you're a sinner. You don't need to be pounding it down them, but you can go up to them and say, hey, I noticed that you're struggling. Is everything okay? Can I pray with you? That's going to stand out to them, and they're going to say, wow, that meant a lot. Somebody's going to come in maybe to your business or meet you somewhere, and they might say to you, hey, we're looking for a church. That's when you can say, oh, we have a great church here. And I pray, and I know our prayer as a church is that when someone comes in here, that they feel welcome, that they feel that they have that joy and that everyone here has that joy. But as we leave, I just want to say this. Just as our teens pointed out, if we would choose to have joy and be the difference, we could change a lot of things. There would be a huge difference in our families' lives, in our town, in our state, and in our world. It starts with you and with me. It starts with us to be that positive influence, that thing that people are saying, why are they so different? And I want that. So as we leave here today, I want to tell you what my prayer is, but I want to say this. Let's all leave here being those good, contagious Christians that the world needs. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you so much for today and just the opportunity to come here, learn more about you, Lord, see what you are doing through this body. And Lord, we just, again, we lift up our promotion Sunday to you as we promote these kids and just as we get ready for another year of Sunday school. But Lord, I just want to pray today that we would ask ourselves, what kind of attitude are we having? And I pray that we would want to be just joyful and point others to you always. Lord, I just pray that we would be that light that shines bright and just that we can always point those to you. Lord, we just pray for the meal that we're going to have and just the fellowship we get to have at the park today as well. Just, Lord, be with us there. I pray for our youth group tonight again that you'd bring the youth back, and just as we continue our year trying to be firmly rooted in you. But again, Lord, I thank you for bringing my family here to serve you here with all these people and just the blessings that they are to my family. Lord, just let us leave here with a better attitude. I just pray these things in your name. Amen.